Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hi, friends. Today, I'm excited to introduce all of you to Trillia Newbell. On today's show, Emily and I are chatting with her all about diversity and how and why to talk with your children about it. Diversity is a bit of a hot topic in our culture today, but it's so important to have conversations around it. Because while we all have differences, from the color of our skin, to where we live, to how we talk, and how we spend our time, we were all made in God's image, and someday we will all gather every tribe, tongue, and nation together to worship God. And today, in an imperfect way, we can image that. Trillia is a woman I admire and respect so much for how outspoken she has been about the importance of loving those around us. And I think the wisdom she shares on today's show will both challenge and encourage you to invest in celebrating diversity in your family. She gives a lot of practical tips, including how to address the somewhat dreaded, "What's that?" question our kiddos ask when they see someone with a difference from them. Trillia is the author of many books, some of our favorites being Enjoy, which is all about learning to love God's good gifts, and God's Very Good Idea, a book you all have likely seen us share before, and one that we would encourage all of you to have on your bookshelves as a fun and simple way to chat with your kids about the beauty of God's diverse creation. It's a favorite book of our children's, and we think it will be for your kiddos too. Trillia is not only an author, she's also a speaker, and she's currently a host on two podcasts that Emily and I both regularly listen to, United We Pray and the ERLC podcast. We'll link to all of these things in our show notes so you can easily find Trillia and check out all the different things she's involved in, which you won't want to miss. Okay, time for the show. Well, hi, Trillia. Thanks so much for joining us on Risen Motherhood today.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yes. Can you just start us off a bit and tell us a little bit about yourself, your family makeup, and just kind of what makes up your day to day? Just for any of our listeners who haven't heard of you by some crazy chance, just let them know a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. Well, I am, I don't even know where to start with my day to day. So I'll start with my family because my day to day looks different every single day.
Oh, yes. Almost. Amen.
Yeah. But my family, I am, I'm actually in a sweet, sweet interracial marriage. So my husband's white and I am black, and I have two biracial babies who are no longer babies. They are 12 and 8. And we live in the Nashville area. Let's see, what else can I talk about myself? That's about it. That's the best.
Well, you write, you have a podcast that everyone should listen to, United We Pray. So
okay, here you go. Why don't you tell them? Yeah, I write. I do a lot of writing. I have several books, and I think we're going to talk about one today. And then I do, I speak, and I work for the ERLC as well under Dr. Russell Moore, and I do a podcast called United We Pray with Isaac Adams, and it's been an absolute joy to think through topics and pray, which is something I think that's unique in the podcast world. Am I right? Podcast?
Definitely.
Yes. Okay. And so, and most of my day-to-day looks like I get up really early. I'm an early, early riser. I love early mornings. And that's probably the only thing that's consistent. Wake up early, get in the Word. That's about all that's consistent. Each day looks so different. It's anywhere from writing to meetings to doing something like this, where I'm on a podcast or talking to people, interviews, whatever. So that's me.
Wonderful. As you mentioned, there is a book of yours that we have really enjoyed. We've talked about a lot on social media, on Risen Motherhood, and it's your book, God's Very Good Idea. And in that book, you just talk about the beautiful plan that God has for diversity. So can you just give us a high level of what is the gospel concerning diversity? What is God's plan in creation? And how did he make us so beautifully unique as individuals?
Yeah, it really starts in Genesis 1. God created male and female. He creates us equally, but different. But then he creates the world, and you see all these nations and tribes and people all created in the image of God, but all created differently. And we see throughout all of Scripture that God has a rescuing plan for the nations. We mess it up in Genesis 3. We sin comes into the world, and there is hostility among people. But then we read Jesus gives the disciples a charge to go and make other disciples of all nations. He dies. When he died, he died. He didn't discriminate who he would die for. He died for everyone who would believe, everyone made in the image of God from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And then in Ephesians 2, we see not only that by grace we have been saved through faith, praise God, but that the veil of hostility has been broken down in the body of Christ. So he's created one new man, the Christian. We are united, and the veil of hostility has been broken down so that we can love and be united with one another. And then in Revelations, we see that every tribe, tongue, and nation will be worshiping together, all of us. So we aren't living out that reality now, but one day for eternity, we will be worshiping together. The gospel makes all of this possible. The gospel is what makes it possible. The fact that Jesus died on the cross, bearing the wrath that we deserve, every single person, anyone walking this earth, everyone, and that he rose and he's interceding right now, he defeated death. It is for all of us. And so I think what makes it beautiful is just that it's possible. What makes it hard is that we're not living in it.
Yeah. For those of you who heard that, I'm like, wow, that was such an amazing explanation. But, you know, it can be hard to communicate that to our children sometimes. I would encourage you to pick up Trillia's book, because she really goes through that well. And I love that you did that for at a child level. And you give these great examples of what different looks like kind of through a child's eyes, you know, because kids typically are like looking at hair or glasses, yeah, or what people like or what their hobbies are. And so you really go through that in the book. And we just really appreciated that. And that's what we try to go through in Risen Motherhood, is that creation, fall, redemption, restoration, or consummation, whichever you like to say, peace, because it is amazing. And that can be so helpful when it comes to understanding it in its full picture.
Mm. Well, first of all, thanks for the book. It was such a joy to write, but it was also agonizing to think through, okay, how can a child understand this? And the scriptures, we should be able to read it. That's what he says, to have like childlike faith and to be able to read it like a child. And so it was a joy. But yeah, it took some
Well, and that's an interesting point, Trillia, because I think one thing all of us moms who are listening, that's something that we want to instill in our children, is helping them, just like you did through the book, understand God's plan for diversity. And so can you talk a little bit, especially as a mom yourself, what are our children inclined to believe about diversity? But then what should we be teaching them instead? And so, and why is this such an important message for our kids?
You know, that's an interesting question. What are kids inclined to believe about diversity? I don't know that kids come out and they're thinking, okay, this is what I'm going to believe about.
Right, right.
I think instead they're going to ask a lot of questions. Mommy, yeah, why is that person something, yes, totally embarrassing?
and they do it at the time that it's most embarrassing for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So a kid is going to more than likely ask questions. And what we need to know, these are good and okay questions. It's good to ask questions. It's okay for them to explore. I remember when my son, Weston, was two, he would identify me as brown and his dad as peach. And he'd call me brown, his dad peach. He's actually looking at me right now and shaking his head, yes. He called me brown, his dad peach, and then himself peach. And at one point he changed it and called me chocolate, which was adorable. And so kids, they're gonna look and see differences. What we need to be equipped and ready to do is to teach them about differences, and that it was God's idea. It was God's idea to create mommy brown and daddy peach. What we just need to remember is that kids, they'll ask these questions, then they will think, wait a minute, this is, it's God's idea. These are God's idea to create someone with curly hair and someone with straight hair. It's God's idea to create someone with really, really deep, dark skin and someone with freckles and light skin. What we need to do as parents is instill in them that these differences are good and that they're okay. And then it's okay for us to think about differences and not only think about it, but celebrate these differences. I think in our culture, we so often fear differences. And that's how we approach the conversation about race or about anything. We fear our differences rather than celebrate them and embrace them. And so I think that that will help when kids ask questions about differences, if we're thinking, wait a minute, it's okay and it's good. We can talk to them about this and we can even celebrate our differences.
Yeah, I love how you're taking it a step further than just acknowledging to affirming that it's good and it's God's good plan. Because I think that without some of this education and gospel thinking, even for adults, our natural inclination might be to kind of brush it aside or like just affirm it and like move on as kind of as quickly as we can. But I love that God goes a step further. He is sovereign and he has a good plan for everyone and everything that he does. And so we can know too that the way that we're all created was by his hand and for our good and his glory. And to share that with our children and celebrate is going to really speak a better word than just, oh yeah, that child is this, but okay, let's move on quickly. You know?
Yeah. I think God speaks a better word to this whole topic. And so I think, any topic on when we're thinking about diversity or race, it's beautiful in the scriptures. It's also hard in the scriptures, but it's beautiful. I think if we can turn our gaze and eyes to the word of God and to God's plan, I think it will always direct us better in the right way. And so, yeah, absolutely. I'm really thankful for the Good Book Company giving me this opportunity to write this book. And I do pray that it serves parents in this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would imagine that a key piece of everything that we're talking about is just kind of having your children exposed to diversity. I mean, to even begin to understand that there are people who live at different levels than maybe your family or your children do, or they have children of different skin tones or their glasses or different assistive devices or all sorts of things that make that diversity. And so, Trulia, what are some practical ways, though, that a parent could expose their child to diversity? Especially, I know for a lot of America, it's just made up of these pockets, you know, very homogenous pockets. And we are so separated, even just among a lot of different levels, not just race. So are there some practical tips that you could give a mom for how to expose their children well to diversity?
Yeah. So you're speaking on socioeconomic, there's loads of different, there's different ways that we're divided and it takes effort. So if you want your kids to celebrate diversity, celebrate the nation, celebrate people, you have to do it yourself. And so that could look like having people in your home, inviting people, opening your door, looking out and meeting people in other neighborhoods. And it could literally be just one block away. Because some neighborhoods, that's how strangely divided they are. It's one block. It's not just a whole community. It's just a block. So I would say invite people to in your home and when possible, go do things like grocery shop in a different neighborhood get really creative. Take your kids to cultural events where they're displaying different art and food. And they do these cultural events in different cities all the time in different towns. If that is not possible, if for some reason there's no neighbor who looks different than you, which of course there is, even if it's socioeconomic and not necessarily your skin tone, or if there is, it's difficult to bring diversity in the form of a person to your home, then there's still loads of books you can still expose your children through history, through talking about culture, talking about current events, bringing that still to your table and making sure that they are just exposed. They will learn one way or another. And wouldn't it be great if we're on top of it as parents, if we're the first people to teach them about culture? And so I think exposing our kids as much as we can to different cultures, even if that means not the person, is really essential if we're wanting to build a heart of a love for the nations and a love for diversity and people. Can I just tell you one thing that I did last summer?
Yes.
Please.
Okay, so one thing that I did, because we have a heart and desire for the nations, but we don't have all of the nations around us. We have some. And so I got the kids we together and I said, okay, this summer we are going to cook through the nations. So we went through and we listed off all these different countries from Australia to England to Ethiopia, all these different places. And week by week, one day a week, I would cook something and then I would cook something and then we would listen to the music and we would watch something. It was so much fun. And I remember one particular week cooking durawat, which is an Ethiopian dish, which was delicious. They loved it. And then listening to the music and then reading about the culture. We did not have an Ethiopian in our home, but in so many ways we did. We didn't. There's nothing that can replace a person, right? But it was so sweet for my family to be not only exposed to food, but culture and history and music. And we were reading and learning. And we just spent that one night doing that. That's just one way that you can expose your kids and your family and yourself to different cultures if you can't, and people, if you can't have someone physically in your home. But getting to know people physically in your home or in your church is the first step. Proximity really changes everything.
What you are sharing is so encouraging, and it's such a good practical idea. And what came to mind as you were talking is like, wow, we keep hearing this on interviews and talking about this on Risen Motherhood over and over again, that it's really, really hard for us to pour into our children what we are not already doing or have a heart for. And so I think that even as you were sharing, I was just convicted of like, wow, like, I need to continue to pray for a heart for the nations and for God to grow me and stepping out to reaching out to our neighbors. And we have a very diverse community for living in the middle of Iowa because we live in a college town with lots of international people. But just kind of, wow, do we authentically make that a part of our lives? And if we do, we have an opportunity to shape the culture of our whole family. And so I love that these are great ideas, but you're explaining that they're built on a foundation of something that's already going on in our heart and in our relationship with God.
I think what else is really cool is how you're just talking about, let's make diversity normal.
Yes.
As we were talking about the beginning of the interview, when you're not having these conversations with your kids, when you're not having kind of positive conversations around them or using just encouraging good words around these things, if it's hidden or secret or hard, it definitely shapes them to feel like, oh, that's like this untouchable thing. Like, we don't talk about diversity. But when you make it just the baseline normalcy of saying, oh my goodness, isn't it amazing how God made us all so unique? I mean, even the fact that my kids like different colors, they can be individual in that. I remember my daughter had a crying fit because her brother's favorite color wasn't the same as hers. And I was like, isn't this awesome that God made you guys so different? And like, that's something that we can celebrate and enjoy, you know? And it was just a good conversation of talking about how God makes us with different talents, gifting, skills.
Yes.
And that's at a two-year-old level. And so I love what you're talking about. It's not just, you know, even engaging in all these huge things, but it's also just the climate of conversation that you have in your home to make it a baseline that like diversity is awesome.
It is. And I love, okay, so you just hit on a few things. I'm trying not to, I got really excited.
Go for it.
Well, one of the things that I hope that we can do, one, is that we would rescue it from the culture. The topic of diversity and race has been so politicized that that's why people are afraid of it. That's we just immediately think division, politics, hate. And for good reason in the United States, we have been divided since our creation, and so of the United States. So I think, but we speak a better word, which we've said over and over again, because we know Jesus and we have the Bible and we know we have a better word for this. And it's a beautiful thing if we approach it appropriately and with this in mind, the gospel. So I think, one, yes, we can celebrate it. We can rescue it a bit and celebrate it from just this cultural conversation that often is heavy and negative. We need to have those conversations as well. I'm not saying let's not have those conversations. I'm just saying if we could start framing this conversation in such a way that's a celebration, and that's the reason why we want to have those cultural conversations, I think it would change everything. Another thing that you said that got me excited was, okay, so this conversation, are y'all with me?
Yeah. Yes. I'm nodding.
This conversation is so much more beyond just a race topic. The beauty of diversity is that God, I'm thinking of Corinthians, he's created the body, the church, unique with all these different parts and all these different giftings. And we have all these, we're so unique and different, yet we need one another. And when we're thinking about our children, if we want to guard against comparison, if we want to guard against unrealistic expectations of them, etc., we will get to know them as image bearers, that they are uniquely designed by the Lord. They're going to be, personalities are different. Their giftings are going to be different. They are going to be different. And if we can begin to celebrate that in others, how much more will we celebrate that in our own children? And we won't hold them to these expectations and, oh, but you have to be and compare them and try to make them in our own image, rather image of the Lord. So there's so much that God can really help and change and grow us in as we are learning to delight in his design rather than what we have created. I just think there's so much that we can really learn and grow when we're thinking about diversity in biblical terms, and rather than in a culture, the way that we, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, and I think when you think about your kiddos and just the fact that they haven't been tainted by politics and culture and all of those things yet, we have like a wonderful, amazing opportunity to really show them God's design from the start. And yes, as they get older, they'll be exposed to different opinions and different things. But like, that's the foundation that we can lay so that in the future, like they can be a light in the world, in politics, in all of those different things, and say, hey, this isn't the right design. And it doesn't have to be this way. And so I just love that, like, as moms, we can set the stage from the beginning of what our children perceive about this conversation. And as you're saying, Trillia, like, it goes so far beyond race, all of the different ways that God made us uniquely. So in addition, I guess I'm sure a lot of moms are wondering this. I think every mom will bring a story to mind as I share this, but what do you do or how do you handle when your child does point out another person's differences in a very, let's just, as we kind of shared earlier, very loud or visible way? I know I have two children in therapy right now. And so when we go in to therapy, we often see children that are very different than our family makeup is right now. A lot of them have assistive devices or walkers or wheelchairs. And I have definitely had multiple moments of one or both children saying, hey, why does she have that? Or why is he using that? Or what's going on with that, very loudly, and everyone can hear in the room. And I'm curious, Trillia, what on earth should I say? And how can I use it as a teaching moment?
Yeah. Okay. So there is a difference between, hey, mommy, why does she have that device? And why is she so fat? Right? So that is rude. The one of them is just a curious thing. The other one is rude and unkind. So that, I think, is where we can divide it. So I have heard kids walking in grocery stores and they say something about someone's size or something that is clearly something unkind that they're saying. I think that's when you correct and you pull them aside and say something corrective. When a kid is asking, well, mommy, what about that? What is that device? And they're just kind of curious about something. I just I just think, oh, answer the question. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a funny story. And when I did this terribly wrong, but it wasn't that they were pointing out. Okay, so my kids, they were pointing with their middle finger. Okay. And instead of me just not even, I just not making it a big deal, I made it huge. I was like, oh my goodness, kids, put your finger down, put your finger down. And I made this huge deal. They didn't know. Yeah. They didn't know what that meant. And so for the rest of the week, they would giggle and point with their finger, or it was just like the rest of the week was me trying to undo the damage.
Oh,
that.
Oh man.
Yep.
And so I made it this big deal. And now it's almost like they ate the fruit in the garden and then all of a sudden they could see. They could see the sin. Okay, that's what I did. I was just like, oh, I just exposed that. They understood and they didn't fully understand because they were young. But I guess my point is that we can make things bigger deals than they need to be. So if the kid asks about a walker or something, you could just say, oh, she needs assistance with that walker, and move on. Maybe we could talk about inside voices later and make it, you know, not a big deal, but hey, you know, let's use a voice that's inside voice when we're out in public. But what we often do is we make it like, oh. And then they're thinking, oh, that's bad that she's in a walker. And I should think of her as something uniquely different. And when I say uniquely different, not just someone made in the image of God, but someone who is, I can't relate to. They're different insofar as we can't relate to them. So I would be really cautious about our response, not so much what our kids do, but ask ourselves, what is the appropriate response is probably not to go big, not to make it a big deal. And then maybe later have a conversation and just really thinking, how do I love my neighbor at that time? How do I love my neighbor as myself and make her feel completely comfortable?
Yeah. Wow. There are so many. First of all, every mom is shaking their head thinking about that time that they made way too big a deal out of something. And then it became a thing.
It became a thing.
And I love that distinction between something that is rude and unloving and something that is curiosity. Because sometimes from an adult's perspective, when I've had that happen, I'm filtering it through culture and through politics and different things. And I worry about that other person's heart, even though I know our child is asking in complete curiosity. And so even just trying to, like you said, celebrate the diversity in that moment. And the few times I've had that happen as well, it's reminded me, wow, I want to have these conversations with our kids before we get in that situation as much as we can, knowing that we can't do that all the time. But I think that's where something like your book comes in, that's a good conversation starter so that it's not as shocking, or we've already covered a lot of things that are different, or even just starting the conversation, like you said, in the car later. Maybe they didn't ask when they were at therapy, but in the car, hey, did you notice that there were these different things? You know, what did you think about that? I'm just learning more and more. Like, it's okay to have that. I want to have that conversation first if I can beat them to it.
And there is a time for sorrow and for weeping. So if your child notices that there is someone who is suffering, then I think that you can explain to them, okay, yes, this person needs this because of that. Let's pray for this this kid. Let's pray for them, because there are some cases where it's actually a suffering. And so we want to be really aware that our kids are going to notice that. I know my kids, they'll notice things, and they are so sensitive and will cry. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be aware that, okay, yes, you notice someone who has the joy, but looks like they're clearly suffering. So at that point, you can explain what hardships and suffering looks like, and then pray, ask them if we could pray together for the kid. I think that's just such a sweet opportunity to teach so much about God's sovereignty, his goodness, Jesus, that he entered our pain and our suffering and our sorrows. And an opportunity to pray for our neighbors. So we may not be able to go up to them, and because you had mentioned you're thinking about their heart, we may not be able to go up to them and say anything, but we can instill in our kids a love for our neighbor through prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so important to teach our children compassion for others. I know we both have children with extra needs and we don't know what the future holds, but I think that makes both of us extra tender to just children with differences, children that look or act differently. And I know that that's something that like I believe and trust that God is using in my own children's life and in people who know us, that their children will learn compassion towards those that maybe don't look the same or act the same or have all of the same opportunities. And again, this is just a wonderful chance to be having these conversations in our home, that this is a regular, normal thing, that we are really talking about diversity and God's great plan and how this is a very small shadow and picture of what someday it will look like when we are all rejoicing at the throne. And that is just a day to look forward to as we see just small glimpses of it here and get to live that out here on the earth. I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that we have that to look forward to when there will be no more tears, no more crying, no more dissension between all of these differences.
Right.
And that will just be a great day when we're all united.
It will. And I look towards that day. It motivates my today. It motivates me. It motivates me to talk about this because I know one day we'll all be together anyways. And what a joy that will be when, when we're united, when there's no more sin, there's no more confusion, no more division, and we will still be every tribe, tongue, and nation. I think it's unique, and we need to remember that. God doesn't get rid of the tribes and tongues and nations when new creation will still have them. So why not start celebrating them today?
Love it.
Well, that is a great word to end on, Trillia. We are so grateful that you joined us on the Risen Motherhood podcast today. Yeah, we just would encourage all of you listeners, if you have not checked out Trillia's book, God's Very Good Idea, it is a wonderful book, a great way to get these discussions started in your home. And we just hope that all of you will have some little nugget that you can take home today to start celebrating diversity in your own homes.
Thank you.